Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day is coming when they will be set on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Sing praise to the Lord with a harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Let the sea and what fills it resound, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, the mountains shout with them for joy.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice, and the peoples with equity.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you know how one must imitate us. For we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day, we worked so as not to burden any of you. Not that we do not have the right. Rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you, so that you might imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy, but minding the business of others. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and to eat their own food. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today it's Father Mark and myself. Dawn is not with us today, Father Mark.
That's just too bad, but I know she's probably quite exhausted from being at NCYC this past weekend, so I'm sure she's kind of recovering from that. I know she's got a retreat coming up this weekend for the teens at her parish, so she's kind of wedged between two big things in her life, and so she's probably doing a little quiet time for herself today. So
yeah, well-deserved, too, for Dawn. But she did say, right before we start our discussion here, I want to thank everybody who did keep the people from NCYC in their prayers. Dawn made a plea on the podcast last week asking people to continue to pray for the youth convention there, and I did hear from Dawn, and she did say that it was a very moving experience for many of the people. So we thank you for keeping the youth in your prayers, and hope that you'll continue to pray for them as they go on retreat this week. But they did have a profound experience. Now, speaking of profound experiences, Mark, did you find anything profound in any of the readings today, the gospel or first or second reading?
Well, looking at the gospel, you know, talking about the, you know, the prediction of the future almost, you know, we're getting into our readings now last week and this week before Christ the King, which is next weekend. And we finish up and we end our liturgical year, and then we start into Advent. So these readings are really kind of leading us toward the, you know, the resurrection and future time and end of the world. And so looking at these readings kind of, you know, at least bring to my mind, you know, when we watch some of those tele-evangelist preachers on TV and people who are, you know, kind of looking at the current events that are going on in our world and kind of pairing them up with different aspects of Scripture, you know, like especially looking at the book of Revelation. So what's going to happen in the end time? You know, there'll be earthquakes and famine and wars and pestilence. And so, you know, we see some of that language in this reading today. And how, when any of us hear any kind of prediction of the future, you know, and recognize, you know, it really makes us look at or recognize the fact that we are not, that we are going to die at some point, and that there will be an end to all of this, and probably causes some fear and anxiety in us. And yet, you know, when we hear sometimes these predictions, you know, on TV or, you know, read about them, we become fearful, and sometimes that fear can be kind of paralyzing, especially since it's so unknown. You know, we're looking at the future, we don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen, and yet the question that comes to mind is, well, how are we preparing ourselves for that future in the here and now? And I think it's important to look at our own lives, you know, in light of what's going to happen in the future. What am I doing now in my life that's helping me prepare for that future? So that, you know, looking at prophets, it's not so much of looking at a future, you know, focusing just on that future event or looking at the war that's going on right now, but it's looking at how can we make this world better, even in the midst of knowing that's going to end at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this whole theme of end times does come up, obviously, this week, and it'll continue to come up as we get closer to Christ the King. But one of the things that's also scriptural, it's not in this particular reading, is this idea that we won't know when the end times are. I mean, Jesus himself didn't even know, you know, precisely when his own end time was coming. He said, you know, this information is only for the Father to know. And I think that's one important thing we do in our society. A lot of times, every few years, you get groups that are predicting the end of the world on this or that date. Certainly around the year 2000, there was a lot of that going on. Will the world end? And to really remember that we aren't meant to know the future, and we won't know the future. But we do have to kind of live here and in the moment. And even in the gospel today, I mean, it's kind of a human nature, I guess, in some sense, to want to know the future, because it can be really comforting, and that's kind of what's asked of Jesus here is, you know, what sign will we have that these things are about to happen? And he doesn't really, you know, give them a real sign. He kind of sits here and says, you know, don't be terrified by the events that you see in the world and expect them. You know, expect there to be war, expect there to be earthquakes and famines and plagues. But don't think that that necessarily means that it's going to be the end. And then he kind of says, what's important is to understand what's going to happen for you as Christians, and that's that there's going to be, you know, some form of suffering and persecution, and you'll be persecuted because of my name. But he never says, oh, well, you know, on this date the world's going to end, or after these four events, you know, I'm going to come and the world's going to be over at that point. So there's really this sense of, again, not us looking for signs to prepare ourselves, but we should always be preparing ourselves, and also not to expect that path to be easy. There's going to be persecution, and just because we see these bad things happening in our world, it doesn't mean that the world is coming to an end by any stretch of the imagination.
We can jump to conclusions so easily.
Right.
You know?
Right. And Jesus says, you know, that's not what we're doing here. It's not these aren't signs of the end, but these are things I'm promising you you're going to face, and you need to persevere through these things, not fret that, oh, the world's coming to an end. And it's something we hear so often in our society. We look at, you know, different acts of violence that happen or different things that just make us really question, you know, whether it be, you know, floods or tsunamis or, you know, the massacre at Virginia Tech, and people all of a sudden, it's very easy to fall in this depression as, you know, where is this world going, or is this world coming to an end, or what is this all about? And we have to be careful not to make that leap to say that, oh, the world must be coming to an end, or this is God's punishment.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of the priest that was in charge of the seminary that I was in Washington, D.C., used to say to us, if you don't see Jesus Christ, it's not the end of the world. And that's so true, you know, that sometimes we'll take any event, you know, and look at it and say, oh, this must be the end of the world. And we get all anxious and we get nervous. And sometimes there's even, you know, a paralyzing effect to it because we just can't move, you know, we're so afraid. And yet it's kind of comforting to think, you know, okay, I'm not seeing Jesus Christ in this event, so it's not the end of the world, you know, and I can still keep going on and I can still do the good things that I'm called to do as a follower of Christ.
And speaking of some of those good things that we're called to do, I think the second reading also kind of hits into that area, talking about what is it that we are supposed to be doing. And here you've got the community of believers out, the Thessalonians. And apparently what's going on in their church is they've got a lot of people who are not working, who are kind of mooching off the community, to use the modern expression, I guess, or leeching off the community, but aren't doing their fair share of the work. And we get this great reading from Paul here telling us, you know, that we're called to keep busy and not to worry about the business of others necessarily, but we are not supposed to be here pretending that we're busybodies. We're supposed to be willing to work and to do the work. And he even says, and he's admonished them before in other places too, and he says, you know, if you're not willing to do the work, you shouldn't be eating of the food or partaking in the food. And this isn't a message for us to sit here and look down on people who are unemployed or anything like that, obviously. But it is a message for us to remind us that we're supposed to be doing some kind of work here as Christian people. And if we're not willing to do that work, we shouldn't be partaking of the rewards that come from that work, of the fruit of that labor, so to speak. But it is that constant reminder that we're called to work, and our Christian lives aren't just something, you know, I've said it many times on this podcast, it's not this personal, private thing, but it's some sort of a work, and it's supposed to be done to help the whole community and to build up this community, because we come to Christ as individuals, but also as community.
Well, you're looking at Paul, who's talking to a community, you know, shortly after Jesus was crucified. And so they are expecting a very soon return of Christ and, you know, the second coming. And so we can interpret that in so many different ways. You know, those who are thinking that, you know, well, we've got to keep moving forward for the kingdom. And then when Christ comes, you know, that's a great event and we'll be caught up in that. But then you've got these others like that Paul is addressing the letter to, that who are saying, you know, why should I be doing anything? It's going to happen soon anyway, so why start any project? Because it's just not, it's going to come to nothing anyway, because Jesus is coming back. So let's just kind of sit on our laurels and do nothing. And Paul is encouraging them to say, you know, no, that's not the response that Christ wanted. We don't know when he's coming back, and we are supposed to be, you know, his followers and working for the building up of the kingdom. So whether that's tomorrow or it's 200 years from tomorrow, we don't know, but we still have to do something in the meantime that cooperates in this mission that he began.
And one other thing from the second reading that I want to mention, I know we're coming close to the end of our time here, though, is the line where he says that we did not cause any burden to any of you. And I think that's also an important thing to keep in mind as we're talking about this work that needs to be done. We should be encouraging others definitely to participate in the work, but the work shouldn't be something that causes too much of a burden in any one person. That's part of also the community, is we're here to help people along, but we're not here to place unnecessary burdens on people either. And so I think that's also something that we need to keep in mind in our Christian life, or as we encourage our brothers to work, as we encourage people through these times where we're seeing all this darkness and despair to remember it's not the end of the world, but also let's remember to be encouraging of one another, not discouraging, not placing extra burdens on them.
That's why, you know, looking at, you know, the end times and recognizing the reality of it, but also that we should not be prophets of scare tactics, you know, because that's going to burden people. You know, it should be about encouraging people to say, you know, we are moving something towards something that's greater than us, and it's something that is good for us and something that's life-giving and that's everlasting, and how are we working towards that in this present moment, you know, and trying not to overburden people with that, but to recognize that there is a call to us to be part of that.
And hopefully we haven't burdened any of our listeners this week, and hopefully they'll all be back next week to join us on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.